Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Kim on a whim.
Then we are unveiling the Second Amendment summer tax holiday. So from Memorial Day till the 4th of July, you can get your ammunition, your firearms, and your accoutrements tax-free in the state of Florida.
Love that.
Yeah, you probably recognize that voice by now. That, of course, is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And he was talking about this so-called Second Amendment summer, as he's dubbed it, that would be part of his upcoming budget proposal for 2025-2026. Now, keep in mind, they still have to approve this. So they go back to session March 4th, so right. in a month from today, and they'll have to make sure that they want to approve this. But he says he thinks this is going to be wildly popular. He says, why would you want to fight back on this? Now, of course, they will find a reason to fight back on it. And I was looking into this because I found this very interesting, because to my knowledge, Missouri does not have anything like this. We have tax-free weekend, but that seems to be more geared toward parents who are going back to school shopping and they need all the school supplies and the new clothes and things like that. What I found was there are three states that currently have something similar to this in place, and that would be South Carolina, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Several other states, including Texas, Alabama, Maryland, Tennessee, they have tried to pass something like this for years and have been unsuccessful. And I guess it's just people freaking out that you're going to have an easier time buying guns and ammos. Ammo.
Maybe it's the fact that they're freaking out that you're taking money away from the government, which is a greedy piglet, as we've talked about on many occasions. The only people that would be offended by that, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I know gun sales are still strong, and I know that there, a lot of money gets spent on that every year, but I would have to think to myself, it can't be that the sales tax off those sales alone, if you eliminated it for what's the period of time in Florida? What do you say?
What do you mean? Summer.
Just the summer.
No. Sorry. He's calling it Second Amendment summer, but no, there would only be one. It would be basically, it would allow people to purchase, it says, firearms, ammunition, and accessories tax-free from Memorial Day to July 4th. So Memorial Day is what?
May 30th.
May 30th.
Right?
Okay. Roughly? So it's not like the entire summer, but it's a good amount of the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. You get basically a month and a week, six weeks of tax rate. That can't amount to that much money out of the state budget. I don't know what they would be worried about.
It'll be interesting to see what they think about this, because they'll find some way to pick it apart.
Well, here's the thing about it. It's possible somebody suggested that in the state of Missouri, because there were like 400 bills pre-filed before they went into session. And I haven't read all of them. I'm sorry. We'll have to pass them to see what's in them. But there may be something like that that's been proposed. I've never heard of it. You know, a little later we're going to get our friends from the Range San Luis West on here, Phil Balsamo. He's their training manager out there. I'll ask him if he's ever heard of it for the state of Missouri. It's a great idea. You get back to school tax-free weekends. Why not Second Amendment tax-free weekends?
Well, I found something else that was very interesting, and that was a bill that's been proposed in New York that would require criminal background checks. You'd have to do fingerprinting, the whole shebang, in order to purchase a 3D printer. And I think what they're trying to get at is because now people are able to make these ghost guns. Remember the guy who murdered the UHC CEO? They're saying he used a 3D printer to make this ghost gun, right, that you couldn't track. I have to wonder if this is in part because of what happened with that situation. And that also is... Because you could use a 3D printer for all kinds of things. I mean, students are using them in school. This is. I mean, that technology, I don't even know how much it costs, but I would imagine it's expensive. But to me, that's going to be something that eventually is in a lot of schools to show kids how to use it. You know, like I think back to...
stupid. Did that pass?
No. It's a bill being proposed in New York.
Yeah. I'm not surprised because New York's a bunch of nuts. I mean, they've got a bunch of... left-wing loons that run the state house up in New York. It's crazy. You're gonna require a background check to get a 3D printer. So your middle schooler wants a 3D printer because they're relatively inexpensive these days, the small ones anyway, compared to what they were five years ago.
Yeah, but what can you really print with those small ones?
And Legos and things. I mean, if your kid wants it, they're going to do it. If they're interested in science, you might want to buy one for them to spur their interest.
Well, right. That's my point. I think these are going to be in schools eventually. I'm looking on Amazon. I don't know.
Carl Middleman probably has one so he can build X-Wing fighters and stuff like that. No?
I would love that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
It looks
you could probably do the Millennium Falcon on that. I bet the plans are out there.
Oh, they are.
Are they?
They are.
For 3D printer?
Yes.
That's awesome.
On Amazon, it looks like they're on sale for $169. I see one for $279. But then I see them, you know, thousands of dollars.
For the big ones, you can spend thousands of dollars. But it's silly season because just like the ghost gun argument that they make all the time, the percentage of crimes committed by people with these so-called ghost guns, particularly 3D printed ghost guns, has to be, I'll bet it's less than one half of 1%. It's probably lower than that. They're probably not even capable of collecting the data. Now, there's a difference between a ghost gun and a 3D printed gun. So take ghost gun off the table for a minute. For 3D printed crimes where they can prove a crime was committed with one, I'll bet it's statistically insignificant. I can't even imagine how low the percentage is.
Don't you think that's important? I mean, there were many reasons why that whole UHC murder was jaw-dropping.
Well, yeah.
But that was an element of it that I think caught a lot of people's attention.
But the kid was a nerd, and he was very smart and clearly had a major mental health breakdown, and he might have figured out that he could print a frame and then go find a barrel somewhere for... To fit that, regular everyday criminals aren't that smart. They don't have those resources.
That's why they're breaking into cars. They don't care about your quarter in there that you're using at Aldi to get your cart. They are looking for guns. Very rarely are they going to waste their time breaking into your car and checking your door handle for a little bit of change you keep in the center console.
I love the tax-free weekend idea. I think that's fantastic.
Well, we'll see what happens March 4th when Florida goes back into session. Lawmakers.
I love DeSantis. I always have liked the way he governs down there in Florida. He wasn't the greatest presidential candidate. It just wasn't his time. I really wish he had never even entered that race. I didn't think it was a good idea because once you cross Trump, you've crossed Trump. He has no interest really in working with you again after that. But I've heard him say nice things about DeSantis since DeSantis dropped out earlier than Nikki did.
I think that he could potentially... I'm sure J.D. Vance will run in 4 years. And I think, depending on how this term shakes out with Trump, I'm going ahead and guessing it's going to be very successful. But I think there's a chance that DeSantis could run again in either 4 years or sometime in the future. I think he would make a phenomenal president. I really do. I think he just came off a little bit awkward or just insecure, maybe not as confident as he typically comes off when he's doing. I mean, look at how he handles hurricane coverage. He dominates. You know, you compare that to Gavin Newsom and how he's been handling all these horrific wildfires in California, and it was night and day. DeSantis is just all over it. He takes action very quickly, and he comes off very confident. And we didn't quite see the same level of confidence, I think, when he was running for president.
No. I'm not sure why. A little awkward in some cases with his speeches, not necessarily warm. great ideas. I mean, I don't have any issue with his ideas.
Well, I don't think Trump comes off warm, but I think he comes off relatable in that he has no filter. So he kind of makes up for the lack of warmth with just that he, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. He, Trump is an entertainer, you know? The guy, people want to watch him because he just flies by the seat of his pants.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I've got a soundbite for you this morning from Donald Trump talking about tariffs. And it wasn't from this year. It wasn't from 2020. And it wasn't even from 2016 in the campaign. Donald Trump is consistent. He has principles and ideas that he sticks to, whether you believe that or not. I mean, you think that he shoots from the hip sometimes, but if you've listened to some of the interviews he's done over the years with, from way back with Letterman, and you can see him on YouTube, interviews he's done about what he would do if he was president. He's always been consistent with his ideas of making America first. He's never wavered from that. As much as you may not like how he says it sometimes, his give a darn button is broken these days, but he's been consistent.
Get more at 971talk.com.